Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The illness is death. What is worse than death?
Nothing. But this is Wretched Radio. Have you noticed we're having a hard time coming up with the same answer to the big question these days? And that is, at what point could the cure be worse than the disease? Governor Cuomo of New York City, he's answering that question with his worldview.
Illness is death. What is worse than death?
That screams worldview, and we would do well to figure out why the governor of New York City was rather annoyed with a reporter who was saying, hey, there's a lot of people saying we should open up shop, and his concern is that one person could die, therefore we must do everything and anything to make sure nobody dies, because that is the worst thing there is. Question: why can't you and I answer the question the same way? Why is the world struggling to come to a consensus on when we should open shop on coronavirus and when we shouldn't? Two disclaimers for your consideration as we seek to answer that question. Number one, this is not, I repeat, not any sort of commentary on the actual answer. We're not going to try to answer the question. When is the right time to open? When is the right time to stop the quarantine? How do we do it? That is well beyond the scope of this program. So if you hear anything where you think I'm trying to tip my hand to suggest when we should get about the business of opening up or not, then please disregard it, because that's not the point of this diatribe. Please note, it's not that I don't have an opinion, and I am perfectly persuaded that my opinion is proper and correct. It's absolutely right, because it's my opinion.
Well, you're a talk show host.
And there's also that issue. But that's not the point of this. So disclaimer number one, please do not hear that this is some sort of a commentary, an encouragement for you to stop the quarantine, go get a haircut, visit a restaurant. That's not the point of this. Second comment, if you'd be so kind, should you at any point in this little diatribe say, yeah, but the statistics say, you will be missing the point. This is not an argument over the statistics and epidemiology. We've got plenty of that on the internet. There are other programs that will dive into that. We're going to do something different and I think somewhat unique, and that is dig down to try to determine why is it that people are coming up with different answers to the exact same question. You would think that this would be a scientific no-brainer. And so let us try to tackle the conundrum, I think, that we're all observing, and maybe quite honestly, that is causing problems and difficulties and arguments in your own home or with loved ones and relatives and friends. You've got a difference of opinion. I've noticed that this issue, it can get a little bit heated. Let's figure out why it is that your answer to the question, when should we open, is different than somebody else's. And if we can do that, I think we'll accomplish a couple of things. First of all, we'll perhaps get along a little bit better in understanding, okay, the person that I'm talking to is not a nincompoop. The person that I'm talking to doesn't hate the world, doesn't want people to die, doesn't want people to lose their job, whatever side of it is that you happen to be on. Perhaps this will allow you to have a little bit more empathy for their position. Second, and perhaps more important, this will help us, in the arena of discernment, because many of the same things that are at play with the issue of coronavirus, what do we do with the statistics? How do we read them? When do we open? When do we close? Was it too extreme? Is the response worse than the illness itself? There are some parallels to the issue of biblical discernment that will help us to grasp, why is it that people don't read the Bible the same way that I do? So exercise number one. Let us use Governor Cuomo's comments to chalk talk and dissect what's going on behind his rather terse answers with a reporter who was pressing him. Hey, there's scientists who are saying it's okay to open, it's safe. There's people who are losing their jobs and their fortunes and their businesses. And the governor had an entirely different take on it. Let's figure out why.
This is death. What is worse than death?
What's going on there? The illness is the worst thing because it ends in death. And what he's going to go about the business of explaining is that there are other things that can be happening because of the new favorite word everybody's using, the draconian shutdown. Has anybody used that word in like 100 years until this? The draconian measures that are being taken to shut it down, it has consequences. It definitely has problems that it is causing for people. That's obvious. Ask the 30 million people who are currently unemployed. Ask the people who are losing things. He's going to make the case, the same case that Mayor de Blasio made. Death is the worst thing. And you and I would agree with that, right? We would agree that, hey, losing a job, that's a bummer. And losing perhaps your retirement, that is a big bummer. But it's not as bad as dying. We Christians would agree with that. Governor Cuomo isn't a Christian. So we agree on that. And yet, as a Christian, you're probably saying, yeah, the worst part is death. But at what point do we measure these things or weigh these things? Now, here was the scale that Mayor de Blasio used. If one person dies, or is rather, if one person is saved from all of these draconian measures, then it will all have been worth it. Now, what is going on? What is that worldview? I believe that is a godless worldview that considers death the single worst thing and the thing that should be avoided at, mark my word, all costs. No matter what, nothing is worse than death. So if you're going to put things on a scale, this is how they would measure them. On the left side of the scale, you've got one death. On the right side of the scale, you've got 28 million people, 30 million people who have lost their jobs, businesses, etc. And they would say the scale tips to the side of the one death. Why? It is because I believe that they lack a fundamental understanding of death. That it is something that it is indeed an enemy. It is a defeated enemy. And yet, it is a part of the world that we live in. We find this answer in Genesis. That death is something that we will not escape on this side of the veil. It is going to happen to everyone. Nobody will escape death. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a world that has risks, and we understand why that is. It is because of sin. It is because of the curse. And so while the Christian, we don't like death any more than Governor Cuomo does. But shouldn't the Christian at least be able to say, but I understand death, and death is something that we try to avoid. And yet we recognize there are other considerations and there are other issues that we weigh. If you're an actuary or if you work in the insurance field or if you even have insurance, you're familiar with the term calculated risk. We would say in the industry of insurance that we take a look at things and we weigh them. What the benefits versus the cost. That's an analysis that gets done all the time. This gets done, by the way, with speed limits on roads. We do an analysis. If the speed limit is 55, we can project this percentage of people will die in accidents. If it's 70 miles an hour, this many people will die. And yet, We weigh that out, and we call that a calculated risk. So if you notice, there are areas where you can do 65 and 70, and believe me, the experts are fully aware that more people will die than if everybody's doing 55, getting passed by Sammy Hagar, but nevertheless, it's safer at that speed, and yet we recognize there's a calculated risk that is involved because of the time saved, that people will be able to get to their destinations quicker. We determined that's a risk we're willing to take. Please note again at this moment, I am not making a commentary on when we should open or what the response has been. We're pointing out the worldview of Governor Cuomo, who is basically saying no calculated risk. Nobody can die. Death outweighs everything. Death is so deadly that we must do everything at all costs to all people to simply save one from death, which is the worst thing on the planet. Can you perhaps see why his perspective is a little bit different than yours? Can you perhaps see why maybe you're having an argument with somebody about this issue who holds that same perspective on this one issue? The difference of death can cause us to draw different conclusions. And yet, for your consideration, I have 11 more differences that might cause some disagreements we will sort through next on Wretched Radio. First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
Thanks for joining us today. We always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us at Wretched Radio. Thanks also to our gospel partners. It's their generosity that allows us to do what we do. Radio, TV, resources, the internet, and things like our free Wretched monthly newsletter. You will get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues that Christians confront today. Not to mention, you will be updated on all the happenings here at Wretched. And believe me, there are always things happening here at Wretched. To get signed up for the free Wretched newsletter, did I mention it's free? Wretched.org/newsletter. It is just that easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wretched.org/newsletter. And it is free because of our gospel partners' generosity. So, if you are able, and if you would consider becoming a gospel partner, you might want to visit wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If and you are a preborn.org/wretched supporter providing ultrasounds and even ultrasound machines, this is a great big thank you from South Florida.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room because our mission is to save lives, save souls in South Florida. And in this very room, that specific thing happens. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way. Thank you for your ministry to the unborn.
Ultrasounds save lives, but preborn clinics need ultrasound machines first. If you could provide a machine or if you could provide a $28 ultrasound, whatever it is, your support for preborn, it saves lives, it saves souls, it saves families. You can become a preborn supporter at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Books of the Bible. It is not certain who the human author of the book of Hebrews was. However, it is certain that the ultimate author is the Holy Spirit. The message of Hebrews is an exhortation to faith in Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. When you want to see how God foreshadowed and fulfilled the gospel in the Old Testament, look to Hebrews. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Tony, would you be so kind to give today's disclaimer du jour, which is also the disclaimer of the day?
Yeah, Todd's not trying to sell his point.
Well, that was pithy.
The views of the host are not necessarily the views of the host.
Well, that's not even it either. My disclaimer is this. If you are thinking that this is some sort of even camouflaged message, a commentary on when we should open due to coronavirus quarantining, that it's not. It's absolutely positively not. Yes, I have an opinion. And quite honestly, if you're listening carefully, most likely you'll hear it kind of trickle through.
You're not that subtle, Todd.
That's not my intention. It isn't my goal to do that. I've got an opinion. The point of this is understanding why people's opinions differ with yours. That is the issue. And believe it or not, if we can figure this out, courtesy of Governor Cuomo of New York, you and I will get along better with the world and will get along better with people that we disagree with in the body. So let us endeavor to try to figure out, why is it that people are coming up with different conclusions? Isn't this a stark example of that? We're not in the church right now. We're in the world. You've got epidemiologists that are saying, open it up already. Enough of this. Right now, the blazing video out there is two doctors from California. They're going, look, we work with these people. We're talking to emergency doctors all over the... We're open it up. And then, on the other end, you've got people, Washington, D.C., most reporters, at least, keep this thing closed, lock it down. It is dangerous. People are dying, and we haven't hit the peak. We haven't hit the curve. Even there's a difference of opinion. How is it that these people can see the same data? And whether you believe the data is dirty or not, that's another disagreement that we're having, isn't it? Why? Why? Now, as Christians, we know the big answer to that. It's the fall. Nothing escapes the curse. Nothing escapes the effects of the fall in the garden. Theologians call it the noetic effect of the fall. Our brains are goofed up. And we are always going to struggle to be on the same page. That is a fact. And we can't overlook that. So we know that. But if we are wise, we'll figure out the worldview that is going on behind their responses so that we can identify it, be aware of it, choose to address it or not, but at least understand, why am I getting so annoyed with people who don't agree with me? Why can't they get this stuff? Let's use Governor Cuomo to work through some of the reasons that we're coming to a disagreement on this issue. And then we can apply these things to the area of hermeneutics and biblical discernment. This is Governor Cuomo of New York.
The illness is death. What is worse than death?
Nothing. But it appears that that's the only consideration that Governor Cuomo has. This is the single worst outweighing factor that there is to be considered. Death.
What if somebody commits suicide because they can't pay their bills?
Yeah, but the illness is maybe my death as opposed to your death.
What's that right there? It's me. I'm worried about me. I'm not thinking about others at this moment, even though right now the world is saying, hey, we're all in this together. The reality is I'm in it for me. You walk around sick, you can get me sick. I don't want to get sick. I don't want my loved ones to die. That is a perspective that is concerned about me. Now, we get that, don't we? But Christians, we also care about others, don't we? And their circumstances and what harm this might be causing them. It would appear, at least from this snippet, Governor Cuomo consumed with death, specifically death about me.
You said they said the cure is worse than the illness. The illness is death. How can the cure be worse than the illness if the illness is potential death?
Now, look, he's not like a crackpot. This isn't like, well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. No, that's a consideration. Death is a big deal. It's just that we have an explanation for it. We have an understanding of it. We understand that it is going to happen. And historically, we've understood that in a fallen world, because of the curse, because of sin, because of the risks that are involved, we take calculated risks, hence insurance, hence driving. We all know that a lot of people are going to die from driving, right? And yet we do it. Why? Because we determine it's a calculated risk. We understand that bridges, they can fall down, and yet we see it as a calculated risk. You get into an airplane, and even though the stats have gone dramatically down, praise God, it's still a calculated risk that you are taking. What Governor Cuomo appears to be doing is saying, no calculated risk. Death is, that's it. I'm not willing to take a risk, especially if it involves my life.
The illness is death.
That's his issue. And that is what he is camping on. That is a worldview that is being clearly articulated there. Now, let us consider what else might be going through somebody's noggin as they weigh the stats that everybody is arguing about these days. Please note, this is not an encouragement for you to fall on one side or the other. It is to determine what's going on behind people's difference of opinion. For instance, death is a big one. Science is another massive issue that is involved. What's your attitude about science? Chances are, as a Christian, you see a very big difference between science, historical science, and observable organic science, the stuff that happens in a lab that we're grateful for, versus, say, evolutionary science. We also understand there's a little something, I think it was F.A. Hayek who coined the term, that it is scientism. Thanks to the age of reason, the scientific period where we decided no God, no Bible, no church, we figure this out. What's our mechanism? Science. It is alive and well to this day, even in a postmodern culture, where science has the last word. If science says it, that's it. And that is why, by the way, you are seeing models making decisions. Statistical, what they believe to be scientific models, that's making our decisions. There's no consideration. Please note again, this is not a commentary. This is understanding the worldview. There's no consideration for other realms. For instance, the Christian understands that there's a government realm, there's a social realm, there's a church realm, there's a family realm that needs to be considered. Scientism, What do the models say? What does the science say? Now, whatever your opinion is about how they've done is irrelevant for this conversation. If you are a scientism follower and believer, you put a heavier emphasis that science makes these decisions exclusively. And there's a time and a place for that, isn't there? But not always, even in medicine. Then you're going to tip on one side. If you recognize, no, God controls everything, there's a thing called death, there's other realms that exist that have to be considered, then you're probably not going to be as swayed by science. Can you see now how two different people with just varying attitudes on death and science can come up with a different conclusion? That's the point I'm trying to make. What is your attitude towards statistics? If you've never taken a stats class, maybe you don't know. Lesson number one is statistics can be manipulated. Ask any accountant, by the way. Numbers can be jerry-rigged to come up with a conclusion that you want. So if you are a big fan of statistics, you're going to fall on one side. If you don't think statistics are all that reliable, can you see how you might have a difference of opinion? What's your attitude toward medicine? End all be all? Or does God heal? Or is God sovereign over these things? We try to be wise about science and medicine, but we recognize God is doing what God is going to do. You're going to have different shades. Just put that one on a scale of 1 to 10. And can you see how? If you're, say, an 8 on one issue, somebody's at a 4, and then you've got 12 of these issues that I've concocted, there's probably more. Do you see how you can come up with a different conclusion? So think of it like this. let's say for easy math, there's 10 different considerations that can persuade you and inform your decision. Science, death, statistics, medicine, the role of government in decision making. Okay, there's 5. Now imagine there's a scale of 1 to 10 for each one of those. You've got a low view of government. Stay out. Ronald Reagan was a liberal. There should be no government at all. Versus, I love government. I think it should be doing these things because this is a big, scary world that we live in. All right. So there's a scale of 1 to 10 for each one of these. So let's just say you're at a 4 on all of these, and your next door neighbor, your loved one, your spouse is at an 8. So now you're at a 20. They're at a 40. You're going to come up with a different decision on this thing. That is my point. So perhaps rather than fighting exclusively about statistics, we understand there's other components that are utilized and put into the picture that people are using to make decisions. And I would perhaps do well to dig below statistics only to find out why. Because if we don't have agreement on those starting places, we're going to come up with a different conclusion. That perhaps helps us understand why Governor Cuomo has one response, you have another response, and somebody you love has a third response. What does all of this have to do with Christian discernment? A lot. Next on Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The Mission Ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text. An effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the Mission Ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the Mission Ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Perkinis. Following weeks of legal haggling, Texas abortion businesses will begin killing unborn babies again. Republican Governor Greg Abbott issued a new executive order on Tuesday, loosening restrictions on some elective medical procedures during the coronavirus pandemic. On March 21st, you remember, Abbott suspended all non-essential surgeries to conserve medical resources to fight COVID-19. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, also a Republican, later clarified that the order included a halt to abortions. Pro-abortion groups immediately challenged the restrictions, but the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the original order. Now that Abbott has loosened the restrictions, state attorneys say in a legal filing that there is no longer a case or controversy, sadly. In this era of coronavirus, missionary groups are adapting, providing helpful information about the resulting disease in addition to offering hope in Christ. Trans World Radio created special content on COVID-19 and focused additional programming on how to find spiritual comfort. The group broadcasts programs in multiple African languages, as well as Arabic, English, Italian, Mandarin, and Spanish, and have recently added new programming to reach Yemen. Door International, an outreach group to the deaf, have also shifted their focus, saying teams typically involved in Bible translations are translating information that they've received about COVID-19, according to Door President and CEO Rob Myers. International missions groups like the Christian Missionary Fellowship are also doing more relief work to help during the crisis. 2 lawsuits challenging new Idaho laws regarding biological sex and transgenderism have started making their way through court. The American Civil Liberties Union sued the state April 15th over the Fairness in Women's Sports Act, which Governor Brad Little, a Republican, signed into law last month. The move makes Idaho the first state in the nation to block male athletes who identify as female from participating in women's sports. At least half a dozen other states have introduced similar measures in recent months. Separately, Lambda Legal filed a lawsuit on Friday against Idaho's newly enacted Vital Statistics Act. It says people must not change the biological sex listed on their birth certificates. Supporters of the law expected a legal fight because a federal judge overturned an earlier similar state law, citing the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The Fairness in Women's Sports Act includes a provision allowing anyone to file a claim questioning an athlete's gender and requiring him or her to present a signed physician statement indicating his or her biological sex. The dispute adjudication process would involve physical screening or DNA testing. Blaine Canzati, Advocacy Director for the Family Policy Alliance of Idaho, praised the governor for signing the laws and called on Little's administration to take the just and courageous step to defend this law against those who would disenfranchise girls from their own sports. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Know your church fathers. Tertullian is known as Asia's first Christian theologian. He came from Assyria and studied under Justin Martyr before returning to prepare a path for the gospel into Western Asia. He wrote A Harmony of the Four Gospels. It was the primary gospel text in Syria throughout the 3rd and 4th centuries. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Economic hardship. Yes, very bad. Not death. Emotional stress from being locked in a house. Very bad. Not death. Domestic violence on the increase. Very bad. Not death.
This is Wretched Radio. That was Governor Cuomo helping us to understand why it is people perhaps you love, maybe you used to even be friends with them, why you are disagreeing on coronavirus, and way more important, why you and I disagree theologically, especially perhaps when it comes to the issue of application of theology. Let us dive in to figure out why we are coming up with a different conclusion to the issue of the coronavirus shutdown, open up, lockdown, quarantine, extend it. We got a curve, we got a spike. How do we deal with this? You've got an opinion. There's probably about 70 other opinions in your life. Why are we coming up with a different response? And the answer to that question will help us understand why we have denominations and why we have fights in the church. Won't that be worth the journey? Please note, disclaimer, I am not, I repeat, not making any sort of commentary on whether we should open up or stay shut down. Yes, I've got an opinion. I'm desperately trying to not even give a hint of what it might be, because that is not the point. So if you hear this and you start arguing with me about whether we should open or close, then that will have been to miss the point. If you, underneath this video, start talking about, well, yeah, there's some epidemiologists and the statistics from Italy, and what, that's not the point. This has nothing to do with whether you should stay quarantined or go get a haircut or not. This is about understanding why it is that we have such a divergence of understanding of issues, especially in the church. If, and you recall, regarding coronavirus, the lesser thing compared to theology and Christian discernment, I wrote down 12 attitudes, 12 experiences, 12 presuppositions that could cause us to have a different understanding of the issue. And I think doing a little math on this helps. Think of this, each one of these issues that you and I can have a difference of opinion on a scale of 1 to 10. So if you're at a 1 on all of these issues, and somebody else is at a reasonable, they're at a 7, they're going to score a 70 after 10 of these markers, and you're going to be at a 10. Now draw your conclusion. Clearly it's going to be different. That's what's going on with coronavirus. This is a theological display. This is a worldview display happening in front of our very eyes. When you watch the president or your governor talk about these issues, when you watch Fauci talk about this, there are things behind it. This whole debate on numbers, which is interesting, is going to give us different results because there's so much that goes into making the decision on how we interpret statistics. And the same thing is true with interpreting the Bible and interpreting situations and interpreting the actions of other believers. So here are some of the reasons we have a difference of opinion. I mentioned our attitude toward death. You heard that loud and clear from Governor Cuomo. Hey, people are getting beat by their husbands, but it's not death. And there's something inside of it that causes the Christian to go, whoa, what's going on here? There's no weighing of the issue. There's no other consideration for human beings and their safety. He seems rather myopic in his understanding of the issue because he seems to be consumed by death. Now, the Christian grasps that. We don't celebrate. Yay, some people died. Now, caveat, or a little nota bene, rather, Governor Cuomo should be thrilled that the herd is being thinned. That's the evolutionary worldview. All of these people, they're talking like Christians. Hey, we don't want people to die. Hey, that's not what evolution teaches. If you're weak, you've got an underlying issue, you got to go. That's the evolutionary worldview. It's the Christian worldview that says we care. We don't want people to die. Nevertheless, Governor Cuomo and others so concerned about death that they, hey, we'll lock this thing down for 2 years if we need to. Why? Because their filter is one issue, death, particularly their own. What's your attitude about death? What's your theology of death? What's your understanding of death? What's your attitude towards science? Are you worshiping the idol of science? They've got the answer for all things medical. Or do you think that there's other considerations? Human flourishing. What's going on with people, with the economy, with society? What is going to be the proportionality of it? What is the mitigated risk? How do we make that decision? And by the way, another subject perhaps for another day, we are going to have to figure this out. There's no question about it. That the unsustainability of shutting down a world, you can't keep doing that. So we will be working through this, and we will be coming up with some rules about weighing these issues. I guarantee you, we will do it. Now, the only difference will be whether or not we as Christians can lead that conversation and be ahead of the curve, because it's going to be getting worked out naturally. It's happening right now. Serious, it's happening right now. What is the flattening of the curve? Where are we? What is an acceptable risk? How many people might get sick? Those things are getting worked out in front of us. The thing that we can bring to it is understanding the considerations that go into it and articulating what the issues are that go into the decision making and that bring about the disparity of understanding of these statistics. Note again, I'm not making any commentary about what is right or wrong or what the number is or when we should or shouldn't. This is so that you and I can be talking about this issue way ahead of the curve, which is going to happen. It's getting worked out. Even now, it always does. What's your attitude about science, statistics, medicine, government? Here's one. What's your work ethic? What does that have to do with how I understand coronavirus? Look, we bring things to the table, whether we're even aware of them or not. If you love to work, like, oh, I love it. This is just driving you bonkers. And you're going to interpret the statistics in favor of you going to work. If you border on the lazy side, well, you know, it's pretty scary out there. You're going to come up with a different decision. Now, I'm not, again, this isn't a commentary. I'm just pointing out these things are going to go into our decision-making process. What is your investment in the stock market? That's going to drive your understanding of the data and when we open and when we close. Do you have a house? Is it at risk? Are you able to make your mortgage payments? It's going to weigh into how you interpret the data. Do you have investments? What about underlying conditions? Do you have them? Are you over 65, which is unquestionably the target demo? You're going to bring that to this and you're going to go, whoa, hey, I'm 70. I've got asthma. This thing could really kill me. Do you see how you're going to interpret the data different than a 20-year-old who's fit as a fiddle? You're going to bring that in, and you are going to make a conclusion based on some self-interest. We all get that, don't we? It is the way it works, and we need to be mindful of it. Skin color, there's another one that's being discussed right now. That what they're saying is a disproportionate number of people in the black community who are getting this and dying from this. So if you happen to be black, you're going to bring that in. If you're white, you're going to be more inclined, perhaps, to not weigh that as heavily because you're not black. It goes into the thinking as we process these things. What is your worldview regarding utilitarianism? Do you the ends justifies the means? A consequentialism, a pragmatism, hey? Look, I'm going to take a look at this, and I'm just going to weigh this. And so whatever the cost is for what I perceive to be the benefit, I don't care what it is, we're going to pay it. That's what de Blasio and Cuomo are saying. Doesn't matter. Death, my death in particular, that is the cost we're not willing to pay. So let everything else suffer. Let people lose their businesses. Bad. Children getting beat up. Bad. Not death. You heard the governor yourself. That is worldview pounding into this issue, which is why you're having disagreements with others. Does this perhaps help you now as you engage in a conversation with this, with loved ones, with friends, help you to maybe, instead of just getting annoyed, how do they not get this? What do you mean they want to open up everything? What is the matter with them? Wait a second. They want us to wear a mask to bed? What? You can't figure them out? This helps us figure them out. So maybe some of the debate, while helpful at the statistical level, we might do well to dig down a little bit deeper to find out what is their starting point, what is their presupposition, to try to level that playing field. Because if you don't have an agreement on these 10 or 12 issues at the get-go, you're not going to have agreement with the conclusion. So we need to spend more time talking about these issues, understanding these issues, responding to these issues, if we're going to get that issue to have any sort of consensus. Now then, having said all of that, let's move from the lesser realm, the realm of coronavirus, important, but nowhere near as important as the issue of theology and getting along with your Christian brothers and sisters on theology and living. Next on Wretched Radio. Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Clubs think kids camps in Eastern Europe meeting weekly to hear the gospel. Kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around. So the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is Wretched's latest evangelistic resource, perfect for sharing with those who don't understand who Jesus is.
People love to question the divinity of Jesus Christ. Phil Johnson, what would be one proof that Jesus Christ is God?
The calendar is based on
it. That's a pretty big proof, but we have compiled 21 more proofs Jesus is God in a booklet titled The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You know somebody who needs to know Jesus. Get your copies. Terrific evangelistic booklet. Wretched.org/22.
The Man Who Split Time is a must read for every skeptic. So we challenge you. Get it. Read it. Then give it away. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copy at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
Imagine it's Sunday morning. The alarm clock rings. Bring. Sorry, we got a budget. We don't have much for sound effects here. Bring. The alarm bell goes off. You jump out of bed, excited to get ready for a day at church. You put your little gaggle into the minivan. You arrive at church. You greet everybody happily. You sit down, but wait. There's no pastor. That is what it is like for thousands and thousands of Christians in thousands of churches. They have buildings, they have pulpits, and no shepherds to fill them. We can change that by supporting the Master's Academy International, many seminaries around the globe. Visit wretched.org/pastor. Pick your favorite country and adopt a seminary, and let's fill pulpits together. Wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 1870. Pope Pius IX proclaims a doctrine of papal infallibility.
Though the authority of the Pope had been established for centuries, the teaching that the Pope's teaching is divinely inspired and infallible is a very recent invention. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here's the disclaimer. This has nothing to do with determining when we open or continue to shelter in place. This is a much bigger conversation. This is Wretched Radio. Let's see if I can make my point with an unrehearsed demonstration. Todd, is there any other kind on Wretched Radio? No. Mm-hmm. No, there is not. Tony, mm-hmm. please tell me, who do you believe is the greatest men's tennis player of all time? Joey, you're going to be answering the same question. Tony, who do you think the greatest is?
The greatest of all time?
That is correct, Bjorn Borg. Bjorn Borg. Mm-hmm. Joey, what is your opinion about the greatest tennis player of all time?
Boris Becker.
Okay, both of you are so off. You are so totally wrong. It's unbelievable.
And you think?
Roger Federer, hands down. And he's the prettiest tennis player of all time.
That's true.
Look, well, you look at the Grand Slams. You look at the tournaments that he's won. You look at the longevity of his career. And you got to say, at this moment, hands down the best. So you two are wrong. Now, I've got a couple of questions that I'd like to ask. We can spend our day tussling about who it is, Boris Becker, Bjorn Borg, or Roger Federer. But here's another question. Tony, mm-hmm. how many hours a week would you have to say you study tennis or watch tennis on the Tennis Channel?
All told, mm-hmm. one maybe in my lifetime.
Joey, did you play tennis in high school?
No, maybe a little recreationally, but yeah, I watched a lot of Jimmy Connors as a kid.
All right. Okay, Jimmy Connors. I like Jimmy Connors. I thought he was just really entertaining to watch, and he won a massive number. I think he still has the record for the number of tournaments held. It just wasn't as many Grand Slams. All right.
So now, he's the best.
I've studied the issue probably more because it happened to be my sport. Tony less, Joey very little interest. He watched some Jimmy Connors. I've watched more Roger Federer. Tony must have captured a little bit of Bjorn Borg, thought for whatever reason he was cool. It was because he looked a little bit like a renegade, contrasted to John McEnroe. All right. All of those things go into the pot that render a verdict. Your attitude toward tennis, whether you like it or not, whether you like guys who behave, if you like a rebel on the court, then you're going, oh, McEnroe or Connors. If you'd like somebody who's like a rule keeper, keeps to himself, that chilly Scandinavian, probably Lutheran. That's why you like him, Tony. And Bjorn Borg is your guy. It depends on what your perspective is, your values are, your experience with, your understanding of, your studying of the issue, how long you've been at it, and what you prefer. The same thing is true with coronavirus. You bring a million things with you to the party that cause you to look at the current situation and agree or disagree. The problem, of course, is everybody else has got a million presuppositions, too. They bring it to the party. They use those, whether they are cognizant of them or not, and they are going to render a different decision. So now we spend all of our time fighting about the decision without ever going, why'd you get here? How'd you arrive at that conclusion? What motivated that? What is your thinking about? Tell me about your understanding of. What's your history with? Were you ever... Maybe your dad was wicked, and he used to chase you around the house with a Wilson T2000. That's the racket of Jimmy Connors. I hate that guy.
That dates you.
You bring all of that with you when it comes to coronavirus, and that's chances are why you're getting annoyed with politicians, with leaders, maybe your own family, and friends. What does that have to do with the price of tea in Texas on a Tuesday? It has everything to do with the church. The same thing is true with you and me. When we sit down and talk about a theological issue, we bring things to the party. And when we fail to recognize, who am I dealing with here? Who am I talking to on this issue? What is their experience and understanding with the issue? All I hear is their conclusion, and I get annoyed because they don't agree with me. That's the problem. You believe what? Now, here's some things that maybe cause you to think a certain way on a theological issue and somebody else to think another way. Please note, I'm not talking about essential issues here. I'm talking about secondary and tertiary issues. And mostly, I'm actually talking about discernment issues. You see or hear somebody say something that's theological sounding, and you go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, for instance, there's this series called The Chosen. I've been taking some time to try to do some reviewing on it. I haven't watched it myself. Sorry, it's not my cup. That's not a commentary. It's just a preference issue. So I've been reading a lot of reviews on it. And overall, I would say this. The reviews are overall positive. I really haven't read anybody who's like, this thing is horrible. Haven't heard any of that. And yet, you've got some people who are going, you know, there's some stuff that they say that's really... And other people are like, yeah, they do, but, you know, come on, give them a break. It's not intentional or anything. And other people are like, huh? I didn't hear a thing. I didn't think anything was wrong with it. And then we go to the mattresses, don't we? Now, rather than hearing the conclusion, perhaps understanding where I come from and where the other person comes from, for instance, these issues should be considered. How's about your maturity? Just your maturity. I don't care how long you've been in the faith. How mature are you or aren't you? How mature is the person that you're talking to? How long have they been in the faith? How much do they study? How much do you read the Bible? Do you spend time studying this particular subject, or do you just have an opinion? Maturity is huge. Here's another one, your central interpretive motif. The central interpretive motif, that's your big oom. That's how I see God. If I had to pick an attribute about God, that's it. Or if I wanted to pick a central interpretive motif about the Bible is about this. If I think the Bible is really good at helping me to live a moral life versus I think the Bible is about not living a moral life per se, but revealing that we don't live a moral life and we need one who did. So the central interpretive motif would be Jesus Christ. That's how I read the Bible. Now, can you see how people are going to come up with different understandings about different verses and different applications of it? Your central interpretive motif. Here's another thing. Your thing. What's your thing? What are you on about? Okay, for instance... And I've actually seen this before, and this is an indictment. It's just an observation. Ray Comfort lives, breathes evangelism. And so if you ask Ray Comfort a question about a scenario, he's going to filter it through evangelism. Will this allow me to evangelize to people? Can I win? No, he just brings that to the party. Right, wrong, or indifferent, he does. If your thing is homeschooling, that's your thing. You're going to bring that to the party and you're going to smush that into your understanding and you're going to spew out a different response to a circumstance or your attitude. I'll try to do a dramatization. Your thing is homeschooling. Ray Comfort's thing is evangelism. Okay, you two, what do you think about public school? Ray Comfort is going to go, well, you know, can we still witness on campus? I think that's great then. And then you... who are just, your thing is homeschooling, you're going to be going, public school, it's of the devil. Do you know what they're teaching the kids there? Okay, both of you are believers. What caused that? It could be your thing. Have you studied the issue? What is your level of knowledge on the issue? Here's another consideration. What sort of church are you going to? What sort of preaching do you hear? What's the worship service like? How long has the individual you're talking to been going to a church? Are they a new convert? Are they perhaps on an issue? Is this a possibility? They're a bit like Apollos. They just aren't aware of an issue and then you're informing them. They never heard this. Wait, what? This baptism business, what is that about exactly? I don't understand. Maybe because they've never heard it. What are your presuppositions on issues, not just an issue, every issue. When it comes to coronavirus, we bring a certain understanding and history with us. You had a really nasty flu, and the thought of getting the flu again just causes you to go, I don't care if we turn out the lights forever on this planet. I don't want to get... You're bringing stuff to the party. You've never had the flu? I don't know what the big deal is. So you get sick for a couple of days. You bring that in. And the same thing is true when it comes to the issue of theology and discernment. Now, should you happen to be thinking, oh, so the moral of the story is don't draw theological lines and practice no discernment. Wrong conclusion. Absolutely have theological lines. Absolutely be discerning Bereans. But a part of it and the first step of doing that, believe it or not, is losing your presuppositions. If you want to figure out any issue, step number one, you've got to become an Etch-a-Sketch. Lose it all. Dive into the Bible, and now you can come up with a conclusion, and you can actually have some sympathy, some empathy, whatever the difference between those pathies is, so that you don't yell at, you don't get mad at, you don't cut off somebody. We're not talking about essential issues, because they've simply come up with a different response to an issue than you have. So maybe the lesson from coronavirus and the warring that's going on, maybe we can do better. Maybe we can do better in our conversations about Corona. And more important, maybe we can do better about our conversations about Christ. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.